101 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Icy day, frigid day. Who's ready for all this crap to be over with? That damn Punxsutawney Phil. What's wrong with that guy? Doesn't he know we're ready for spring? All right, I was gone for a little bit, missed a little bit more than a week, so I'm trying to play catch-up here with some various things that happened. But while doing that, I want to give you folks an opportunity to kind of catch up, ask me anything, discuss anything that's happened over the last week and a half to 2 weeks. Our phone line's open, 946-0435. I'll call this You Pick the Topic, because I can come in here any day and just throw out a bunch of things I want to talk about. But again, especially after being on vacation for a little bit, a lot of things happened over the last week and a half. I've tried to catch up with some Super Bowl stuff. There's a college basketball issue with Micah Shrewsbury, the former Penn State coach, that I do want to get to here at some point. But I'm going to open up the phone lines today. Anything that you folks want to talk about, this is You Pick the Topic, 946-0435. Fair game to anybody, whatever you got, 946-0435. It could be something happened over the past couple weeks, Pirate spring training, NBA, hockey even. I even said hockey. Whatever. Whatever you got. Dan was calling in before I even came on the air, so Dan already was going to pick the topic for me no matter what, which is perfectly fine. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
Well, you played right in my hand.
There you Corey. Go. See? Right.
Now, Corey, now when Dave was on last week, he did a yeoman's job, but he didn't get quite the calls, but he got interesting calls. Now, caller number two, he mentioned on Friday about the basketball playoffs, mainly at the campus. And I wanted to know if he said he was going to go, and I just wanted to know if he did go, and what did he think of the games, because they were both outstanding games.
We're talking about high school basketball playoffs played at Penn State Altoona, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
That's what it is, and I know you don't like to go down this road, but that you'll pick it up a little bit during the playoffs with high
school. Yeah, I'll talk some high school basketball playoffs. It's always a fun time of year. So your point is that you want caller number two to call in and tell us what he thought of the high school basketball.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't think in all the years I've ever been doing this, I don't think I've ever had anybody call in asking for another caller to call in and share their thoughts. But I like it. I don't know if caller number two is listening right now, but if he is, Dan's got a request for you. So that's pretty good. I like that. Did you go?
Oh, absolutely. I went. Absolutely. And there's two games this weekend. There's Friday and Saturday, but you have to have pre-tickets. So you got to go online and register all that nonsense. And Joe Larbody, he's gonna reserve a ticket for me for Friday and Saturday.
Since
I don't have none of this computer nonsense. So.
Since you brought it up, I will mention, because I don't get a lot of opportunities to dive into high school basketball here, and we have a lot of really good programs around the region, boys and girls. We've got some championship caliber programs. The BG girls could win the whole thing again this year. I'll spend a minute talking about Altoona boys basketball. Because it's been a tough go for the Altoona basketball program for a while now. The girls program is doing very well. Well, Chris Flegel's doing a really good job with the women's program, and they've been good, pretty much forever, with a couple rare exceptions here and there. Boys basketball has been different, though. I'm involved with boys basketball at the youth levels, having coached a lot of kids that are in, sixth and seventh grade and below. And there's some good players coming up in Altoona There's some. There's some really good talent. One thing I'm seeing that does concern me, there's not really any size. And we you know, some of the youth teams we play, like, for instance, our sixth grade team, we play a team at Hollidaysburg. They got a six-foot-tall kid in sixth grade. In sixth grade, I kid you not, kid 6 foot tall. Maybe 5'11 and a half, what, give or take. But he's in sixth grade, he's 6 foot tall. And those of you in Hollidaysburg, you know who I'm talking about. He's an excellent young player. And we have some excellent young players in Altoona, but we don't really have any size. And so when I think of Altoona boys basketball, it's been such a tough go, and they play in the mid-pen. It's a really difficult league. I'm around Jared Klausman a lot. He is an excellent basketball coach, and he struggled to win many games there. Now, they did win some back-to-back district titles. The district's small, but winning in the mid, it's very difficult to win more than a handful of games as the Altoona High boys basketball coach. And so I don't really have anything. I don't have any answers or solutions. Other than to just hope and you cross your fingers that you have some good youth programs. Because here's what happens. You don't judge a high school basketball program based on the kids who are in high school. You judge a high school basketball program based on the youth that are coming up in your community. And do you have enough good players and they're learning games the right way and doing things the right way. And then you've got skill, you've got talent, you've got size, you've got scorers, defenders, and all these things. And while we have some at the youth levels in Altoona, I do worry that it could still be a tough go for Altoona basketball 4, 5, 6 years from now. Hopefully that's not the case. But again, the one thing I do see that really concerns me is there's no size. Well, these kids go up against the guys from Hollidaysburg, the kid who's 6 foot tall. He kind of just eats their lunch, and you know, then you get into the state tournament. And they have a state tournament that's played at state college, 4th, 5th, 6th grade elementary schools, and you go up and you face some teams that have a whole lot of size. And that's one thing that Altoona, I really think, could be an issue for the Altoona boys basketball program. And I'm talking for years and years and years, you know, 6, 8, 10 years, because I just don't see a tremendous amount of size and physicality, and that puts you at a significant disadvantage when you get up to the high school levels.
Now, Corey, I got one side thing real quick. Now, the girls coach for BG, and she has a little son, and he just like you say, he's no size, but at midcourt at one of the games recently, at midcourt now, he sank a three-pointer from midcourt.
I'm not going to get into talking about too many elementary kids, but I know the kid. I love the kid. I coached the kid for 5 years. He's awesome. He's an awesome dude. Anybody that knows Christy Kack, they know the family. He's an awesome little guy. I've loved being around and being his coach for a long time. He's a fantastic kid.
And he hit the rim.
Oh, hey, look. There's don't get me wrong with what I'm saying here. There is talent in the Altoona School District. There is talent. I've been around some kids. There's one kid that everybody knows here that can score at will. He's phenomenal. He's absolutely out of this world phenomenal in sixth grade. He can put up 30 on anybody, all right? But he doesn't have a lot of size, and there's not a lot of size around. And so that's what I'm saying. With Altoona playing in the mid-pen, they're doing a lot of things right at the youth basketball level, but when these kids get to high school, I do still really worry about the lack of size and lack of physicality for maybe some of these kids in the Altoona program.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, Dan, good stuff. We don't get into that a whole lot, and I truly do wish that the Altoona boys program would get things going, because there is a lot of excitement. There's a lot of passion, I know, for the kids coming up in the program. I think they've got 2 wins this year. I haven't checked their record lately. I think they're 2-20 or something like that. And that's just tough to do. Andy, what's going on? Andy, you get to pick the topic today. What do you got, man? Andy, you're with me, buddy. Go ahead. Hey, Andy, you're there, bud. All right, well, we lost him. All right. 946-0435. Again, anything you want to chime in on, I'll let you pick the topic today. I've got something I do want to discuss here in just a second about college basketball, and it's with regards to how a coach handles situations, because I think what you're going to hear here in a couple minutes is absolutely pathetic. I think it's a disgrace that this coach went this direction. I'll play the clip here in a couple minutes after our first break. But anything that you want to discuss, give me a buzz.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family at McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting. Whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Something amazing is happening in networking. Organizations are scaling with less stress. That's because CDW is designing and implementing intelligent HPE Aruba networking solutions that simplify and secure operations. With automation at the center of your data center, growing pains can be a thing of the past. HPE Aruba Networking and CDW. Make amazing happen. Learn more at cdw.com/Aruba.
All right, welcome back. Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. You can pick the topic today, whatever you want to discuss, anything that's maybe happened over the last couple of weeks that you've been sitting on. Maybe you called in with Dave Shannon last week, maybe you didn't. Anything else that's going on, 946-0435. Now we got Andy again. What's up, Andy? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Corey, did you have a chance to watch the NBA All-Star game at all?
I did not. I was coming back from Florida, so I really didn't watch. I was following it a little bit with what happened, but I did not watch any of it, man.
Here's what should happen, okay? We should have the interim ending for the All-Star game. The format changed now. It's like a three-game tournament. They play up to 40, and the first team to 40 advances.
Right.
But like with the basketball tournament that's broadcast on ESPN over the summer, you play up until 4 minutes is left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And then you add 8 to whatever number the team that's leading the game has at that point, and then that's your target score. They shut off the game clock and run the shot clock instead. And it would be interesting if they did it on outdoor courts. because most of the NBA superstars can afford their own insurance. So liability is really not an issue.
All right, here's the thing. I like the Elam ending. They use it in the basketball tournament. It is very clever and interesting. I would ask you this. I didn't watch any of it. The NBA All-Star Game is a joke. Nobody plays any defense traditionally. Now, would you say, if you watched it this year, and I don't know, because they did revamp the format where you're playing games to 40, were they really playing? Were they really trying? Were teams really trying on both sides, playing defense, doing plays, that kind of stuff?
The talking heads, Barkley, Kenny Smith, and them, like the new format. But the only thing I would do to change it would be you use the Elam ending.
Hang on. But what I'm asking you is, did you see real basketball? Because the All-Star game is typically a joke because nobody plays a lick of defense. They don't care. They're not really even. So here's all I'm trying to say, Andy. It doesn't matter what your ending would be, the Elam ending or anything else. If they're not trying, then it wouldn't matter. You see what I'm getting at? I don't think they even try in the NBA. Yeah.
I think I know what you're saying. They have to have something tied to the outcome is what needs to happen.
Sure, but here's the thing. These guys
home court for the NBA Finals or something like that.
These guys all make 50.
The way they're doing it now, I mean, you're right. Last year, the winning team last year, not this past All-Star game on Sunday, but the year before scored 211 points in an All-Star game.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's ridiculous.
Right, you're basically just watching to see dunks and a lot of threes and highlights and stuff like that. So, look, I like your idea. If it was real basketball, if it was a real game and they really cared, I do think that would bring a level of interest to the NBA All-Star game if they went to the Elam ending. Because, again, I do like it. There's been talk about using it for various other types of events and things. I don't think it has a real place in college basketball or the NBA unless you're doing it in you know, like the All-Star game, the basketball tournament. It is really cool because it makes things very different at the ends of games. If you ever watched the basketball tournament, the way they go about things at the end of games, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, what about the idea of holding the All-Star game on outdoor courts?
If
the East wins one year, you play next year's game at Rutgers Park in New York City.
Where are you going to hang on?
To Venice Beach in California.
Hang on, it's February. It's February, and you schedule an outdoor basketball game in February. There's only certain places in the country you could do it: Miami, Phoenix, probably L.A. So if the All-Star game, where was the All-Star game this year? I don't even know. Where were they playing?
It was in San Francisco, the Bay Area.
Yeah, you can't.
It out.
You can't be outside.
Stafford MVP, of course.
Yeah, but you can't.
You're playing in Frisco. He's going to win everything.
But what I'm saying is you can't be playing outside on an outdoor court in San Francisco in February. There's no way. It's brutally cold. The wind is, I'm sure, crazy. If the All-Star game's in Miami, you know, and you want to do an All-Star thing at South Beach or something, the turnout would probably be pretty good. But if the All-Star game's in New York City, you can't be outside.
Do it in Madison Square Garden, then.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call, Andy. 946-0435. Whatever you got, you can pick the topic today. Clarkster's got a couple basketball things here. What do you got, man?
Well, the NBA All-Star game is a flat-out joke.
Yeah.
But what they may think about doing, because the world is catching up, do USA versus the world.
Yeah, but and I like that, but still will people care? You can't make these people care when – here's the thing, Clarkster. They don't care enough to play regular season games. They're doing their load management, and they're taking off every third game. You're not making them care about an All-Star game.
The game is a joke, but if you're going to keep it, do something that shows us versus them, if you want to create some aspersion as to what's going on here. But the way they're doing it, it's more an entertainment event. It's a comedy. What did they have? The heart guy out there?
Yeah.
You know, joking around and everything. I mean, it's sad what it's become. But anyway, the other thing is I understand Penn State did a surcharge on their tickets and on their parking.
For football, yeah. that
yes.
everything's going up, which is...
Yeah, and it's going to generate another $2 or $3 million. It's going to go into a legacy thing.
Yeah, and... But here's the thing. They picked the right time to do it. They made it to the Final Four. There's all this excitement. They're spending all this money. They're going to have to continue to spend tons of money to get players and everything. So, obviously, they're going to pass this along to the consumer.
I don't know when people are going to wake up and see this, that it's not the college game as we remember. And, you know, but the younger generations... Younger generations have grown up with debit cards and credit cards, you know, and different things. So they have a different total mindset about this. They don't realize that they're going to a school and paying anywhere from $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 up, and now you have athletes that saying, "Well, you know what? That's not good enough because I'm not really here for that."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know when there's going to be a. You know, eventually a payback on these things.
Because... But here's the thing. You know this as well as I do. They've got a waiting list. They know that in terms of supply and demand, Penn State is going to always be in great demand. So they probably can charge whatever they want to charge. And even though people will gripe about it, they're still going to pay.
Well, it's like the pros. The pros in some NFL franchises have you know, waiting lists for season tickets and everything, and people will continue to step up, even though the games are televised. I mean, it tells you about the thinking of people in this country, and when they start complaining about prices and taxes and everything, look at how they're, you know, accepting a lot of this stuff. Was there one other thing we wanted to bring up? I forget what it was. I did hear, by the way... What's the guy? Del Shannon? Not Dave.
Dave Shannon.
Yes. His broadcast, because he had a tough day last week. We had to do your show, and then he had to do the morning stuff, your show, and then a basketball game.
Oh, that's a long day for Dave.
Yeah, he was, you know, going through the whole thing. But I did hear some of the BG game that he, you know, broadcast. It sounded like they were both exciting games between BG and the opposition.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
9460435. Do you want your coach going off on giant rants and blaming everybody? All right. So Micah Shrewsbury was at Penn State a couple years ago, got hot at the end of the 2022-23 season. Penn State had a tremendous finish and won a game in the NCAA tournament. Very exciting. It was a really good team at the end of the year. A lot of things go into play with this discussion, though. Penn State wanted to keep Micah Shrewsbury, but he's from Indiana. The Notre Dame job opened. Mike Bray retired, and it seemed to be a no-brainer that Micah Shrewsbury was going to leave and go to Notre Dame. Well, things have not gone well for Micah Shrewsbury at Notre Dame. They struggled. That program is in really difficult spot. I'm trying to find his record here for last year because he struggled last year. They're really struggling this year. Last year, Notre Dame went okay, what we got here? 13-20 last year. 7-13 in the ACC. This year, Notre Dame is 11-14, 5-9 in the ACC. Remember that number 5-9. Remember that number 5-9. I'll circle back to it here in a second. Mike Shrewsbury's feeling the heat at Notre Dame. They lost to Louisville the other day at home. And apparently, Louisville had more fans in attendance than Notre Dame did, which did not sit well with Micah Shrewsbury. So this was Micah Shrewsbury, his press conference following their loss to Louisville.
Big picture, like you sitting at 10-10 a couple weeks ago, obviously the last 2 weeks haven't gone the way you're kind of, what have you felt like have been the biggest issues in the past 5 games?
We're going to keep fighting. That's it. As a group, as a team, we're going to keep fighting. Right? we're going to keep trying to get back to the drawing board. We keep trying to guard people. We keep trying to score people. And we're playing good people, too. Right? But I know these guys aren't going to quit. No, they're not going to quit. Right? And I understand that, like, I don't understand that a lot of people have quit on us. And well-deserved. If you hate me, absolutely, man. Great. If you think I suck, if you think I can't coach, I'm with you, man. Good. Good for you, because you're allowed to have opinions. If you think I should be fired, good for you. You're allowed to have opinions, right? A lot of people have given up on this team. They've given up on me. I don't really give a damn. I believe in myself, and I believe in these guys, okay? So, like, don't give up on these guys. Don't give up on these kids. If you don't want to show up because of me, don't show up because of me. Because you think I suck. Cool. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. I know people believe in me, right? I know people at Notre Dame believe in me. But I, like, don't give up on these kids, man. What have they done for people to give up on them? I know if you're not with us because we're losing, you don't want to come watch this, fine. Fine. But do it because of me then. But not these kids, man. They don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. Like, ain't nobody else getting home at 5 a.m. from Boston College and going to class the next day and coming to practice and working out and preparing to play Louisville. Nobody else is doing that. Don't give up on these kids, man. I don't care about anybody's opinion. I know who I am. I know I can coach basketball. And I know I'm turning this program around. So you gave up on me already? I'm going to see you back here. I don't give a damn. Don't give up on these kids. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. I sat there and watched more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me. Because I'm the head coach here. And yes, it's my, I got us in this predicament. But don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning. Because we're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. I don't care if you gave up on me or not.
All right, so he knocked the microphone off as he was walking out. I'm just curious. The first part of that wasn't bad. Don't give up on the kids, you know. But there was a whole lot of me there. A lot of stuff. You're going to quit on me. I'm going to get this turned around. Me. I don't like when coaches start making it about me. I thought he was doing a good job when he said, you know, you want to be mad at me, fine, but don't give up on the kids. Because there is a lot to be said for that. But then he starts getting angry, and he makes it about himself. And that's where something like that, to me, is very embarrassing. I think that whole ordeal is humiliating to Micah Shrewsbury, to Notre Dame basketball, to Notre Dame fans. And look, maybe you're a fan of a team or a coach that has gone on tirades and stuff like that. We don't see it around here a lot. James Franklin doesn't do that. Micah did it a couple times when he was at Penn State, challenging the fans to keep showing up because they're putting... Micah likes to blame the fans. Hey, we suck! You should come out and support us anyway! Micah likes to blame the fans, okay? So, that to me is a coach just being unhinged. Now look, again, the first part of that, I'm okay with what he was clearly down. He's clearly frustrated. They're struggling, and he keeps saying, you know, don't give up on the kids. But then it's all about me, and it's all about me and me and me and me and me. And again, I saw that with Micah when he was at Penn State. So I'm just curious, after hearing that, maybe you saw it over the weekend. What do you think of coaches going on tirades in a press conference? Penn State fans got to know Micah a good bit for a couple years, and he got him to the NCAA tournament. There is more to this story that I'm going to tell you here right now. I got a couple people waiting online. Bear with me for 1 second, Roger and Jerry. Because remember I said 5-9. Remember I said 5-9? Notre Dame right now is 5-9 in the ACC. Do you know who was 5-9 exactly 2 years ago? Penn State. 2 years ago, Micah had Jalen Pickett, Andrew Funk, and Seth Lundy in that group. That was a good team, right? That was a good team, right? He was failing. They were 5-9 after a loss on February 11th at Maryland. Penn State was 5-9 in the Big Ten in year two of Micah Shrewsbury's tenure. He was getting ripped by everybody. He was getting ripped by me. And then he had a month that saved his career. If you've listened to me for any length of time talk about that team, I've said the phrase booty ball 1,000 times. Do you remember that team? That team wasn't very good. That team was failing. Micah Shrewsbury faced the possibility of being on the hot seat when he was 5-9 in year two in the Big Ten, just like he's 5-9 with Notre Dame this year. Then they started playing booty ball. They had a 6'7", whatever Jalen Pickett is, point guard who had excellent passing skills. So what they started doing with Jalen Pickett, they started playing the booty ball. Booty ball. Just have Jalen Pickett back his booty. He's only 6'2". I'm sorry. I said 6'7". I knew I was wrong immediately. He was 6'2", but he was big and strong. Very, very big and strong guy. He could back his way into the lane and still pass. They played the booty ball. Nobody could figure this out. It's crazy. Nobody could figure out how to stop Penn State because Jalen was so good in the lane. But they went from 5-9, then they beat Illinois 6-9, beat Minnesota 7-9, beat Ohio State 8-9, then lost to Rutgers in a really tough game, 59-56, to drop to 8-10. But then they won at Northwestern, beat Maryland. Now they're 10-10. I didn't necessarily like it at the time. Everybody hung up on me. Roger, Jerry, call back. I didn't necessarily like it at the time in terms of buying into Micah Shrewsbury. I just got the feeling that they were getting very lucky. They're 5-9, and he was really strong. Then he had a good three-week stretch that started on Valentine's Day 2 years ago. And so then from 5-9, Penn State won its first three games in the Big Ten tournament, lost to number one seed Purdue, or top seed Purdue by two. And that team just got on a roll. But I remember thinking at the time, is Micah Shrewsbury a good coach? Or did they get on one good run? And that's what's tricky in sports when you're evaluating coaches, okay? Because Micah Shrewsbury, there were a lot of things to dislike about what he was doing at Penn State. Then he got lucky with the booty ball, and they turned things around with a really good roster. They had one good four-week stretch, and Micah turned that into a job at Notre Dame, making, I think, I want to say makes close to $4 million a year, $3.5-4 million a year. So, but he was 5-9 before that good stretch. Okay? They're 5-9 at Notre Dame. Is Micah Shrewsbury really that good of a coach? He had a good four-week stretch with a bunch of seniors. And then that he was going to lose that all of that team. And there was a very good chance last year at Penn State he was going to struggle because they had to start over. So I've always found the Micah Shrewsbury thing to be fascinating because they got so hot at the end of that season 2 years ago that you forget how underperforming Penn State was for the first 3 months of that season. When they were 5-9, they were 14-11. And again, Micah was getting a lot of heat. And at that point, he was blaming the fans then as well for not showing up. They were losing close games. They were in games. They were competitive. I had a couple people calling in, 946-0435. If you want to jump back in, I'll take your phone calls. But that rant that he went on, I just heard a lot of me. A lot of me, a lot of me, 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 me. You know, I'm going to get this turn. You're giving up on me. You're quitting on me. I'm going to turn this around. You want me fired. I found the thing, the whole thing to be interesting because I typically do like, let me say this, I typically do like when coaches get really passionate and get fired up. We don't see that with James Franklin. We don't really see that with Mike Tomlin. We're kind of used to coaches around here being more even keeled. I'm going to pull out of Robin Bedford's listening. I'm going to pull out my John Russell impression. Remember when John Russell was the manager of the Pirates 15 or so years ago and the Pirates sucked? And here's John Russell getting mad. Well, I know we lost our 14th consecutive game, and I'm really angry right now, as you can tell by the tone of my voice. This is not acceptable for us, and we're all angry around here, and we're very upset about losing. And I know that I sound really mad and really angry right now, but this is, I'm trying to control myself a little bit because I am very angry. That's John Russell. That was John Russell, baby. Losing, losing, losing. Didn't seem to give a damn one way or another. I like passionate coaches. I like when coaches kind of get fired up in their press conferences sometimes. But do you need a coach blaming the fans? When a coach starts blaming the fans for not showing up, they're not showing up because your team sucks. All right? Fans pay the bills. You don't have the right to just have fans show up and support you, okay? You start blaming fans, the blame is on the person in the mirror, okay? Notre Dame has been a terrific basketball program for a long time, and he took over a tough situation after Mike Bray because things really kind of went downhill for Notre Dame in a hurry. And that does happen, especially in this whole NIL landscape and everything, players moving left and right. Notre Dame was one of those programs that did very well because they could keep players there for 4 years. They would develop. They shot a lot of threes there under Mike Bray, and those players really developed well. Well, that's not college basketball any longer. Players are coming and going left and right. But the whole Shrewsbury thing, that was pretty fascinating. If you want to weigh in on that, 946-0435.
Jimmy Johnson is now the primary owner of Legacy Motor Club, and he finished third in this year's Daytona 500. He was very pleased even before the race.
It's a big weight lifted off, to say the least. You know, the experience I had last year has been ringing through my brain at night, and I've jumped out of bed a few times with some nightmares as this day got closer. We're doing so much to turn Legacy Motor Club around, have it point in the right direction. And the partnership with Carvana and bringing Shaquille O'Neal in, and what's ahead, the days ahead and what we have planned, man, it would have really, really been a bummer to miss the race. And obviously there's still a chance to race in tomorrow, but so happy to have this behind us and not have to worry about it. Man, money equals speed. The more we can bring in the door, the better we're going to be. So excited for that. Just hope we can roll some cars back on the trucks when the race is over. That'll help the bottom line too at the end of the year. But just excited. You know, the partnership with Carvana, Shaq being on board, we're carrying a Reebok logo on the car. Hopeful that we can grow the relationship into more and have a great showing here. But tomorrow, I've talked to Chad Johnston twice after qualifying, and the first time I talked to him, it was like, we're just going to ride at the back and not do much.
This is the final lap.
Hey, you. I knew I'd find you back in the same aisle. What are you looking for today? More fiber? More laxatives? More of the same ways to manage your constipation? Look, if your constipation with belly pain keeps coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. We've got our phone lines open, 946-0435. You pick the topic, whatever is on your mind. Anything that's happened over the last week and a half or so while I was out on vacation, you want to chime in on anything, ask any questions, or bring up any topic. And we had a couple people waiting online when I was talking about Micah Shrewsbury. So if you want to give me a call with your thoughts on that, 946-0435. It doesn't surprise me what's happened at Notre Dame, because clearly, as you heard me talking about in the last segment, I think Micah Shrewsbury got unbelievably lucky at the end of the season 2 years ago when they were 5-9 in the Big Ten, and he rolled into one great month. And one great month he turned into a $3.5 to $4 million job at Notre Dame when, quite frankly, he was struggling big time before that. We got George in Altoona. What's going on, George? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Corey, I heard your discussion on Notre Dame basketball, and I wonder whether it was really his attempt to keep a hold of the team. I wonder if he's afraid that he's losing his team.
Could be.
And so he made a big statement out there, blame me, don't blame my kids. You know, I'm going to stand up for my kids.
Because, it's interesting.
You know, he just lost by 15 now.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Penn State's ride now, where they were in it, they were losing by 2 or 3, and then all of a sudden they get whacked by 19 at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, by Ohio State.
Same deal.
And since then, you know, except for the Washington game, you know, they got beat by 24 apiece, you know, out on the West Coast. It just seems like they're mailing it in.
Yeah,
I wondered if he's thinking the same thing.
They've clearly lost the season at Penn State. Mike Rhodes, I don't know him. I've never interviewed him. I wasn't covering Penn State basketball when he got hired. He did a great – here's what I've seen a lot. He's done a great job at – he did a great job at VCU. You can win a certain way at VCU in the Atlantic 10, because you can win with great athletes, you can win with great defense, that kind of thing. In the Big Ten, the Big Ten has styles and tradition, players everywhere. You can't win. You can't just try to win with one particular style in the Big Ten. Everybody, the league is good enough. The coaches are good enough. They're going to figure you out to a degree. You have to have good enough players. You have to play multiple styles. You have to be able to do things in different ways. You have to have size and strength inside, which Penn State rarely ever has. So I think what's happened here is, you know, Mike Rhodes' style just isn't working in the Big Ten. Then Ace Baldwin got hurt. He had a back injury. He's probably not 100%. He plays a lot of hero ball at the ends of these games, taking shots. So what's happened is everything has just snowballed, and Mike Rhodes has no clue how to figure it out at this point.
Well, here's the other interesting question, okay? You got the NCAA tournament is going to have 68 teams. The NIT is still going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have this college basketball crown, which is another 16 teams,
okay,
which starts March 31st and goes through April 9th. So really nobody in the NIT or the NCAA tournament I can see is going to probably be in that tournament.
No. Uh-huh.
So what teams are in there? Teams 100 through 116?
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, it sounds like they've had the CBT tournament in years past. So
one's going to be pretty big. I mean, that one's going to be 16 teams in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but it's still going to be the smaller programs. The number one goal is still going to be to get to the NCAA tournament. No, if what you're saying was, are there going to be quality programs in that should be in the NCAA tournament?
Penn State's sitting in Ken Palm. They're still sitting at 77.
They're 3-12 in the league, though. I mean,
at some point
you have.
Who are you going to put in? What 16 teams are going to go?
I know what you're saying. So what you're saying is, you know, how are you feeling? Look, they're three and twelve. They have five games left. Let's say if they went out and they're 8-12, obviously it looks a hell of a lot better. Let's say they go 5-15. Any tournament that accepts a 5-15 Penn State team, one, the tournament should be embarrassed, and two, Penn State should be embarrassed for going.
Yeah, but they'll be over 500 as a record.
Penn State should be embarrassed for going. At some point, you have to say, no, we this isn't good enough. We're not going to take that. Would you want to see Penn State go to any? They could go to the dog crap toilet bowl tournament. Would you want to see Penn State basketball in a tournament with a 5-15 conference record?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing it if it was an underclassman team, but this is a heavy senior-laden team. So you're not really given – it's not like you're going to give the next group a great head start on next year.
But it's – I mean, what you've started to see now is these big programs, they turn down NIT invitations occasionally, you know, because things didn't go quite their way. So at some point you have to have a little pride. If you're 5-15 in your league, you need to have more pride than accepting some toilet bowl tournament.
But I will say this: if you search, you know, Mike Rhodes had a good run, I guess, at VCU.
Absolutely, he did. Absolutely,
Penn State was interested. However, VCU is not real happy with him. I just did a search just out of curiosity for Fire Mike Rhodes.
Right.
I came up with an article out of VCU saying, we're a basketball school. We have all these great facilities, and this guy can't win a tournament.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something that sometimes you hire a guy that you think is your treasure, and the other place wanted him gone. So it's just, it is wild how it works that way sometimes.
Yet this guy from Utah State that took over for him is having a really good year.
Okay, very good. I need to check that out. Thanks, buddy. Good call, man. I appreciate that. Good basketball discussion. Jerry in Bellwood. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, one quick comment on Shrewsbury. Then I want to talk about Altoona. Hi. When I heard what I could hear on my signal was – I don't think he meant – I think when he was saying about the players, I took it that wasn't very sincere, that he was still saying, woe is me.
Yeah.
You know, don't pick on me. That was the impression that I got.
Yeah, and if he would have just ended it after a minute or so, maybe he could have gotten sympathy for the players. But by going on the way he did for the final minute, it seemed clear – all of this is getting under his skin. The pressure, the criticism, he's taking it pretty poorly.
Yeah, that's the way I took it. The question I had about Altoona High, they're kind of in the same position a lot of the other schools, the smaller schools in this area, or probably every area are in, because you can't coach size. So when you're in a small school like Tyrone or Bellwood or Williamsburg, you know, a lot of times you don't get the big players. So you've got to compensate in other ways, you know, like you have to get the kids in the weightlifting room. You have to work on their increasing their vertical and their quickness and how fast they are just running up and down the court and that kind of stuff. Do they do that in the off season, or do they just play in leagues?
I can't say for sure what they do. I'm sure they do a lot of conditioning. A lot of these kids do play in leagues throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. I would say this, and I'm not necessarily just speaking about Altoona, because I'm not a high school basketball expert, but I would say this: if you can't match up talent wise with all the people around you, you better do something different. Shoot 50 threes. You have to do whatever you can do to play a different style, because, and I've said this about Penn State too, but certainly at the high, remember Juniata Valley back in the day? Juniata Valley once held the national high school record for three-pointers in a game and in a season, right? You remember that, Jared? Were you coaching at that point? I don't know if they still do it, but they came up with a style and a system. Look, folks, if you're just going to run out there with six-foot white guys and that's all you've got, then you better find something that works for that. If that means you got to shoot 43s, because at some point you're going to run into bigger, stronger. I was here for several years covering high school basketball games, starting in 99, where I'd go to these games. I didn't see anybody dunk. I mean, I'm serious. I came from a place in Virginia, a team that won the state title in Virginia in 98 and finished eighth in the country, sent two guys to Richmond. I saw 15 dunks a game. I didn't see a dunk in a high school basketball game here for the first probably 3 years that I covered a game, because it's just different. So if you're not going to have the size and the strength and speed or whatever, you've got to come up with a style and a system that's going to give you some kind of different. Look, Altoona football does it. They run the veer, the option kind of offense. Now, they had a bad year this year, but before this year, it had kind of worked for them under Vince Niedermeyer. So if you can't line up and go toe-to-toe athletically with an opponent, you'd better have a plan B that you can fall back on.
Yeah, I just see that a lot of high school coaches over the years just use size and quickness as an excuse. Now, those are good. I mean, those are definitely advantages that, you know, another team will have. But you've got to then work on developing that with your team, and not just in the during the season, but you got to do it in the off season. You know, a guy can't dunk if you don't let him get close enough to the basket to dunk.
Yeah.
You know, and if you box out and you do those kind of fundamental things, you know, and you take care of the ball, and, you know, but the thing is, I don't know if these coaches are getting the kids into the weight room, and I don't know if they're, you know, you can improve your vertical, you can improve quickness and your speed, right?
That is a good point, and I don't know the answer, but I do know that these kids play a lot of games. There's all these summer leagues and travel leagues, so it gets to the point where playing the games is the focus,
I don't know
if you've ever heard this said, like in Europe, they practice 6 days a week and play one game a week. So there's in this country, I know kids in the youth level that play 80 to 90 games a year of basketball. I mean, that, so how much are you truly practicing if you're playing a game every other day?
Yeah, and you're not developing the skills that a kid needs. I'm not trying to downplay playing games. I mean, that's important.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you've got to work on. You got to get these kids working on their skills. You got to. And I'm not saying Altoona's doing this or these other schools, but you can't use size and quickness as an excuse for always not winning. I mean, I think you can develop those kind of things.
Good stuff, Jerry. Appreciate the call. I'm going to sneak in one more, Chuck, in Unionville. Chuck, I got 1 minute to go. Sorry, we're back against the clock. What's up?
I want to talk Penn State basketball, but we've only got a minute. Maybe I'll call in the next day. But the only thing I'll say, Corey, is having lived here as long as I have, you know, I think the way the university has handled basketball is one of the biggest failures the university has done to the Penn State community, especially the students and the university itself. because I, you know, in the years before the Bryce George Center and being a part of the Big Ten,
yep,
they were limited. They were an independent playing in Rec Hall.
And we got to wrap it up. But and now, where do you how do you think they're gonna do that now when all the money's going to football? They're not.
Well, but they could have diverted money away from football to the program, because every other basketball program that is able to get into the tournament or to be tournament contenders is profitable.
And here's what they don't have. They don't have $700 million football renovations to go through.
Well, but they could have done this over their
correct.
History
that's
court.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Prior
no,
to
no,
that.
There's no
that's
question.
The
they failed for 50 years in doing so, and now they're just not quite capable of doing it with all the money football needs. And I do have to cut you off there, Chuck. We can continue that another day, buddy.
Cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99, and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
A lot of good discussion today. Sorry we had to end that Penn State basketball discussion there early. Our show brought to you, as it is every day, by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. Head on over there to 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They'll hook you up pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, anything that you're looking for. And that's about going to wrap things up for me today here. Nathan's going to be in here tomorrow. Nathan's going to be hosting the show tomorrow. I'll be here. We'll kind of go back and forth, but he's going to be hosting tomorrow. He gets to pick the topics and kind of lead the discussion. I do hope to do more of that in the coming weeks. I want to give Nathan opportunities to learn how to introduce the show, introduce topics, get smooth at all of this stuff. He's come a really long way in being able to do that. So you can probably expect, you know, once a week or once every couple weeks where Nathan's going to kind of be in charge of hosting everything. Have a good night, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.